This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Bo Bennett. My co-host Ryan is not with me today, but I am joined by Judith C. Tingley, PhD. She's a psychologist, author, and freelance writer. In a career that includes 30 years as a therapist, plus experience as a professional speaker and trainer, an executive coach, and a college professor, Judith has always been a person with strong opinions, clearly differentiating beliefs and thoughts from facts and research, a skeptical psychologist in certain ways. My kind of lady. Judith, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thanks, Bo. I'm glad to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you today about one of my favorite topics, positive thinking. In the Toastmasters article dated January 2013, there was an article, Positive Thinking Debunked, that you wrote. Focus on realistic thinking to motivate others and achieve goals in 2013. Quite the contrarian article, wouldn't you say?
I do, and I was actually a little bit surprised that Toastmasters chose to publish it.
Yes, as was I.
Yeah, because Toastmasters basically is a very positive-thinking organization. It's an excellent organization, and I've been in Toastmasters for 30 years, as you know. Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes against the grain, but I was delighted to hear that they accepted it.
Right, right. Well, as you know, in the past decade or so, there have been articles and studies and books even that came out to question positive thinking and this whole drive towards positive thinking and being upbeat and happy all the time and smiling and everything's going to be great, saying that, you know what, this might not be the best approach to life.
Yeah. Well, I think because it's true.
Ah, truth.
I think there were a couple of things that happened that got us off track, and that is, you know, the early books, Think and Grow Rich and The Power of Positive Thinking. I think a lot of people never read those books. They may have read them but lost some of the content in there because it takes a lot more than thinking positively. To grow rich, to be a successful speaker, to be a CEO of a major organization. And I think that kind of got misunderstood along the ways when suddenly it also came out that negative thinking, self-talk, you know, the concept of self-talk is relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
And several books went after negative self-talk. And so I think it was sort of a pendulum effect. Where we say, well, if you're not supposed to negative think, and we can see why, then we must have to positive think.
Right. Like a course correction, but a little bit too much.
Yeah, a little bit too much.
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem that happened there. So negative thinking is definitely not good for people. It causes them stress, it reduces their productivity, and it reduces their self-esteem if they have it.
Mm-hmm.
But positive thinking, one of the aphorisms is, if you think you can and you think you can't, you're right.
Right.
Have you heard that?
Oh, I sure have, yeah.
So it means if you're thinking negatively, then you can't do what you are saying you're doing. And if you're thinking positively, well, then you can. And that's not necessarily true. So I got kind of bummed out in the last decade or so after hearing. I had heard earlier great motivational, inspiring speeches at Toastmasters, and then sort of it turned over, and I started hearing really a lot of style but no substance in a speech.
Hmm.
You gave a great quote from Michael Shermer.
He said that a lot of the content out there is data light and anecdote heavy.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's the same kind of thing, which is style without substance. And Annie Murphy-Paul, who's a writer, and she writes about learning, says, you know, the faith we place in positive thinking is not merely naive, but fails to capture the complexity of human motivation, which I think is absolutely true. So what motivated me to write that article was I'd been thinking this for a long time, but, you know, you're sort of afraid to go out there and say it because people might beat you up because the positive thinking cult had kind of taken over the world. But when I read the book by Barbara Ehrenreich, which is called Bright Sided, I sort of felt like I had an ally out there and I could dare to go against the forces.
A lot of speakers and authors and pretty much everybody involved in success and positive thinking, they want a very simple solution. They want to sell an easy solution. And as you mentioned in your article, the book The Secret that was written in 2006, that's pretty much as dumbed down and as simple as you can get. The problem is when you take away the complexity of human thought and motivation, you end up with something that's just simply not true. It's a simple lie.
Well, exactly. It is a lie. And the thing that really stunned me was that many intelligent, articulate people just bought into it. And in various and sundry settings and didn't seem to be, you know, love is the answer to all. If you love everybody, they will love you back, and you will be happy and live forever after, and all is well. Well, golly, that's blatantly false, because you can love people who really hate you, and it isn't going to work.
Mm. Well, I just want to reiterate that this is a very sensitive subject for many people. I know many people who are very smart, they're successful, they're happy, and they will stand behind this and say, you know what, positive thinking does work. I am happy, I am successful. How can you tell me that positive thinking does not work?
Okay, and so that's a very good point, because I think it boils down to definitions. Mm-hmm. And there are not good, solid definitions. You do a lot of research, I do a lot of research, but even just reading pop psychology stuff, people are talking about different things when they're talking about positive thinking. And positive psychology is also not exactly the same mm-hmm. as positive thinking, right?
Right, sure.
So it's good to be an optimist. There's no doubt about it, in my opinion anyway. You live longer, you're healthier, you're more of a desirable person to be around. But the optimists actually do not think positively. If you read some of that stuff, they think realistically. Now, it is true that pessimists think negatively.
Mm-hmm.
This is never going to work. Chicken Little, you know, the sky is going to fall in.
Right.
I can't do this. Or if I do it, I won't do it well. But optimists just sort of have a outgoing, happy affect, but they aren't saying to themselves all the time, I'm going to send this idea out to the universe and get what I want. They just think, well, you know, this is going to work out okay if I do X, Y, and Z. Well, is that positive thinking or is that realistic thinking? I think that's realistic thinking.
Right. Yeah. I think whether you apply a positive or a negative bias to your thinking, it's still a bias.
Yeah. And one of the other things that happened, and I don't know if you noticed this in your Toastmasters club, but in some clubs that I've been in, when the positive thinking phase came along, also positive evaluations came along. So somebody would, you know, give one of these speeches that didn't have any substance, but the evaluator was intimidated, which I can understand, you know, to give a realistic evaluation.
Right.
And I did. And it ended up so that in my club I was called Boom Boom because I went boom, boom, okay? And, I mean, it was lighthearted. But a lot of people were not willing to give a realistic evaluation, because that was, it became almost a trend, almost a cult. Well, it did become a trend, and it did become a cult. And I think it was harmful. It became sort of groupthink, you know, and the majority of people were positive thinkers and were advocates of that. So anybody who crossed that line or argued with it, you know, was considered sort of an outsider. And I mean, I'm talking at the world at large. You know, in Barbara Ehrenreich's book, she blames, which I think is going a little bit too far, but she blames the whole financial collapse on the fact that, you know, these companies just were doing over-positive thinking, and anybody who said, you know, maybe we better be careful, maybe we better slow down, maybe this is too risky, we're told, you continue to talk that way and you're out of here.
Right. Yeah, well, I guess there's two sides to the evaluation, isn't there? There's giving the evaluation, and then there's receiving the evaluation. And I would say for giving the evaluation, well, that's pretty much a different topic. I don't know how much positive thinking is actually involved in there. Of course, there's putting a positive spin on the evaluation, and we know how to do that with the sandwich technique. You know, you give something good, then you give the meat. You say the what needs to be criticized, but in a good way, of course, and then you finally finish it up with a nice comment. That's all well and good. But everybody is not going to give you one of those positive evaluations. And you got to respect the people who don't. I mean, you can't, of course, you can't help at sometimes, but being upset with people who are a little bit, let's just say, not very diplomatic in their delivery of the evaluation. But this is where positive thinking comes in. This is where if somebody gives you a negative evaluation, you got to pretty much look at it as, hey, you know what? This is a good thing. This person is saying things that maybe my best friends would not say, right? I mean, they're saying things that you need to hear, but perhaps don't want to hear.
Well, and I think too, if you can evaluate somebody on the basis of their level, in other words, certainly with a novice speaker, you don't want to bash them in the head or her with even realistic stuff.
You don't want to give them more than they can handle.
Exactly. Right. And you want to give them something that they can do something with, a suggestion.
Right.
Next time, maybe it's better if you don't hang on to the lectern the whole time you're speaking as you move towards getting comfortable with making gestures.
Sure.
You know, or something like that. Instead of, oh, you were wonderful. This is the best first speech I ever heard. We're so happy to have you here. You're going to be a star. That is over the hill. And actually, I can't see that it does any good for anybody, because it gives them unrealistic expectations, and then they start lying to themselves. And as you said earlier, that's the mistake. And, you know, that reminds me of the thing that really got me. And this was even before I read Ehrenreich's book. This research done by Joanne Wood, who is a Canadian researcher who did affirmations with people, and you know, affirmations have been sold big for a long time.
Sure.
You look at yourself in the mirror and you say, you know, I'm a fabulous person, or I'm rich, I'm successful, I'm famous, and by golly, if you do that enough times, it happens. Well, of course it doesn't. But she did a controlled experiment where people did say to themselves, I am a lovable person. Now, she'd done a self-confidence test on them before she did this. And no surprise, the people who had low self-esteem, it made them feel worse, because they knew they were not a lovable person.
Hmm.
I mean, because they didn't have any real-life experiences of being lovable or being told that they were lovable. And so they knew perfectly well they were just lying to themselves. And that does not make somebody feel good, that they're lying to themselves. The people who had high self-esteem, it didn't make much difference, because they already thought they were a lovable person.
Right, right. Well, I think in Toastmasters, we have to remember that it is somewhat of a learning organization. We're all here to learn. We're here to experience new things, try new things when it comes to public speaking. But we have to realize, too, and remember that many of the speakers, maybe speakers in our club or certainly speakers in our organization, want to be a professional speaker. They want to go out there in, let's call it the real world, and give speeches.
Yes.
And if their speeches are not quality speeches with good content, or they're a very awkward presenter,
right,
then you know what's going to happen. They're going to be in trouble. And they're not going to get the kind of feedback, if we don't give them the kind of feedback that they need, but rather give them the feedback that we think they want, we're all going to be in trouble.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you do professional speaking, you can't fool yourself very well, because if you're getting paid by a company or an organization, they are going to tell you in reality, in many ways, either subtle ways like never inviting you back again.
Yeah, sure.
Or nobody comes up and talks to you after the speech.
Right.
Or things like that, even though they don't tell you. And so it's always wise to go in, you know, with reality, not to think, oh, this is such a great deal and I'm such a great speaker and they're going to love me. And I really do practice that. I mean, I just say to myself, every time I speak, I'm experienced. I can handle this. And this is reality. I am experienced, and generally I can handle it well. But still, I may not do a fabulous job. But that works so much better for me, and I think that kind of thing works better for most people than that I'm a star, they're going to love me. You know, I've blown away a lot of audiences, and boy, these guys are going to think I'm terrific.
Sure. I want to circle around to that point that we made earlier about how this positive thinking movement, if we want to call it that, is really a reaction to the negative thinking that has been so prevalent early on and is still today in so many different areas with so many people. Again, positive thinking is an overcompensation for negative thinking. So either way, we're still not representing reality. We're just overcompensating for something that is an error, that's a mistake, that's an incorrect way of looking at something. So that's what I really wanted just to hammer on. I wanted to hammer down that point that realistic thinking is the way to go. And by all means, if you are a great speaker, and if this is pretty much close to objective fact as you can possibly get about saying somebody is a great speaker, then by all means, go ahead and say it. Say you're a great speaker. Say you're going to do a wonderful job. Or maybe even just say, more honestly, maybe, I believe I'll do a wonderful job. Or the chances are I will do a wonderful job. Because most likely that's the case. Negative thought is terrible. It's a terrible habit to get in, and it's not realistic. So many people have a much more negative view about themselves than actually represents reality. Okay, let's say people buy into what we're saying and they want to change, they want to think realistically. What can they do?
You start reading some of this new brain research, you know, it makes you think it's almost impossible. Because the latest stuff that I've been reading says you have to get, to really be able to do it, you have to get rid of, because these now have become habits for people, and that you really have to get rid of the neural pathway that is entrenched in your brain, either for positive thinking or for negative thinking or for both. You really have to get rid of those by using realistic thinking more of the time. And so that you can build the realistic thinking pathway that's more solid than the others that gently and lazily fade away. So that sounds a little bit daunting. However, I'm for it. I think it can be done. But I think an important point about this is that positive thinking, a lot of people still think positive thinking is the antidote, the cure for eliminating the means to eliminate negative thinking. And it is not. It does not work that way. It just doesn't work that way. You got to get rid of eliminate the negative thinking, move to realistic thinking. And some positive thinking, there's nothing wrong with it, as you pointed out. It's mostly the overdone stuff, you know, the pendulum swings all the way over to the other side where I'm fabulous no matter what I do. And but to say to yourself, you know what, I'm really doing well at this. I like this. I'm a good speaker, or I'm a good evaluator. That's good. That's not over the top. I think that's why this whole thing is difficult, and you know that, too, in terms of what are the definitions, you know, where there are no definitions that are equally valued or agreed upon by academics, you know, by researchers, by the dictionary, even.
Sure.
So it's pretty hard to get it all well and clearly defined so that everybody agrees. I guess that's probably true for most concepts anyway, agreed by all people. But the other thing about those books is, if you read them thoroughly, which I'm sure you did, you see that their positive thinking is really, it's pervasive, but nonetheless is determined. They talk, you know, about determination, purpose, persistence, goals, objectives, making good relationships, all kinds of other things besides positive thinking. And I think a lot of people over the years have kind of just either not read the books and just gone with a hype, or sort of have forgotten that it isn't enough by itself.
It's taking the easy road.
Yeah, it just is not. You have to do all these other things. And I think any of the success people in those books, but in the world at large, nothing just plopped in their lap. And it may appear that it did, but if you investigate, it did. And maybe they were a positive thinker, but it didn't just appear. They worked as you worked in your first business.
Sure, yeah. Well, there's one last concept I wanted to bring up regarding positive thinking, and that is this whole idea of culture. We kind of take for granted as Americans that positive thinking is everywhere.
Yeah.
And everybody's all about positive thinking, and all the books tout positive thinking, and the whole world is like this. It's ubiquitous. But that's not actually the case, is it? There's not too many countries, in fact, America is probably the only one that I actually know for sure, that's as into positive thinking. Why is that? Or is that even true?
Yes, exactly. As a matter of fact, there are countries, to be unnamed, who are actually negative thinking countries,
mm-hmm.
not positive thinking countries. So it is, and I think that's kind of been used, however, a little overused as an excuse. Well, Americans have always been positive thinkers. You know, they came here and started out that way. I mean, you have to be a positive thinker to sail across the ocean and, you know, come to a almost uninhabited country and knock down trees and, you know, risk your life many,
sure.
many times in a short period of time. But I don't, you know, I mean, we really, maybe we were originally, but so much has changed that we are not many of the things anymore, because we are so diverse now and we are so different than we were originally when we were pretty much of a homogeneous group, that I think it's kind of a moot comment.
Yeah. Well, interesting stuff.
Okay.
Once again, thank you so much for being on with us and sharing your ideas about positive thinking. And Judith, where can our listeners find out more information about you and about what you do?
I have a website, which is http://intelligentwomenonly.com. But, Bo, you can go there, okay? And nothing bad will happen. So men can visit, too. And actually, I've asked you to write a guest blog for my a guest post for my blog. So I hope that you will do that down the road a bit.
I certainly will.
About men and negative and positive thinking. And I also am on Twitter at Dr. Tingley, DrTingley. And you can find out more about me on the blog.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it, and I hope to meet you in person sometime.
Good. Thank you. It was fun.
All right.
I appreciate it, too.
Take care.
Bye.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.